SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
Well, I said at the beginning before we started this that there was a lot to do with good, bad, and the dumb. But maybe there wasn't. Maybe it was a quiet weekend. We let Ron Culver sort this out. So what is the good
it's
on
never
a Monday
a quiet
morning?
Weekend.
It's never a quiet never weekend.
Never quiet.
No, it's
you
never
know, the
quiet
good, I'm, I gotta give this girl props. Danielle Gibson. You ever heard of her?
I've heard of Debbie Gibson.
Yep, no relation.
Shake your
well, maybe.
Bone.
I don't know. Maybe there is a relationship.
Maybe so. Danielle Gibson. Between them.
Okay. Anyways, she's a Razorback softball player.
Okay.
And she accomplished a feat this weekend that has been done only one other time in NCAA history.
Let me guess. She hit into two triple plays.
No.
No?
Okay. That wouldn't have been good.
No, that would have been awful. So this is good.
This is good.
Hit four home runs?
She did.
And?
But what makes it special that can only have been done once in NCAA history?
I'm going to go out on a limb here. She hit four grand slams.
No. That would have been cool.
That would have been cool.
That would have been amazing.
She hit for the cycle?
She hit for the cycle.
She
a
did?
A home run cycle.
Okay, what's that? Oh, my God. She had a grand slam, a three-run homer, a two-run homer, and a solo shot?
Yep.
Are you kidding me? That has got to be the greatest.
I mean, that's amazing, right?
Listen, the reason I paused was I was going to say that's the greatest baseball feat, but she plays softball, so I didn't want to insult the softball people
yeah.
out there. But that's got to be one of the greatest game performance, plate performances of all time.
Right. And what makes it even more amazing, she did this in four innings.
No.
So just I'm not sure.
Of course, it's softball.
Yeah. But I mean, how bad is that other team?
Oh, Lord. My God. Are you kidding me?
But yeah, I mean, I've never really heard of it. When it came about, I'm like, oh, that does make sense. I wonder if that's ever been close in Major League Baseball history.
Is there a name for that? Did somebody?
All they said was just a home run cycle.
Home run cycle. That sounds pretty cool. That sounds enough.
Like, that's got to be
so call it the
tough.
Gibson. They call it the Gibson.
Call it the Gibson. The Gibby.
Yeah, call it the Gibby. That's a great one. That's a great one. Are you kidding? This rhymes with Ribby. Now look at us. We just created a new baseball term.
But how
that you can
awesome.
Use in softball too, obviously.
How awesome would that be?
Oh.
I mean, just the sheer luck of being on base
Unreal.
When you know no one's on. Then you know, hey, one person's on or two people are on. Bases are juiced.
My question, has the Elias Sports Bureau been on top of this to find out if anyone in Major League Baseball even come close to something like this?
I'm sure there are people sitting in a think tank right now.
Right now, going, okay, we know that hasn't happened in Major League Baseball, but somebody did get a grand slam, a three-run homer, and came close to a solo shot or something like that. That'd be crazy. Are you kidding? Look, I wouldn't think that would be very difficult to look up. To the Elias Sports Bureau, because you would have a database of all of the guys who have hit grand slams. I know it's long, it's deep. There's a lot of grand slams in baseball, but then you'd have to then you just coordinate it with three run homers and see if you've got a match. And if you don't have a match, no one's ever done it or come close.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's been a grand slam and a home run in a game.
Oh, we've had that like last year.
Yeah, that's happened.
I mean, we've had like what three home runs?
God, that's great.
In a game where somebody hit a grand slam.
Can we call it the Gibby? Can we get somebody to call it? Let's call it the Gibby.
I really wish we could. I don't know. I don't know.
Hashtag Gibby.
Do we have to, what channels do we have to go through?
Just make it a social media phenomenon. Like take her story and then hashtag Gibby. And then let's call it that named after her. That'd be good. No, Siri, I'm not talking to you. So
I think she's letting us know. Wait, you guys can't use Gibby.
Every now and then my stupid phone just goes off.
So she became only the sixth person in NCAA history to hit four homers in a single game.
Wow, but really?
She would have had a chance to go for the record in the fifth inning, but the game was unsurprisingly called before that inning due to the NCAA's run rule. Because
right,
they
the
were
mercy
up,
rule.
Yeah, they were up 15-3 at that point over SIU Edwardsville. Was that Southern Illinois?
Oh, God. Yeah, Southern Illinois, Edwardsville.
Well, I guess what makes it even more impressive, too, is that just hours before that, I guess, they had taken a 3-1 loss to Drake.
Oh, wow.
She went 0-4 with two strikeouts.
Wow. Wow. So Drake is pretty good.
Turn around your day right there, right?
You said she's from Arkansas?
Yeah, she's a Razorback.
Excellent. That's really awesome. That is all right. What's the bad?
The bad of the weekend. Lakers versus Pelicans.
Oh yeah, I heard this.
Yeah, I'm not so much about the game or the fact that LeBron James is blaming everybody but himself for the performance.
He was really mad.
Yeah, that's not the bad. The bad is, right. And this is going to start a whole bunch of rumors if this story gains some legs. But Luke Walton was left behind.
I saw that. Yeah,
that's a bad look, right?
Right.
Come on.
I thought that was an Onion story when I first saw it.
So did I. That I'm looking. I thought, I'm like, no way. Oh, dude, the bus left him there. That's
all right. Is this one of those things where it's going to be like Lane Kiffin on the tarmac, where
that's
he really
exactly
didn't get Lane
what
cut,
I was thinking.
Right? Where like then we find out he didn't really get fired on the tarmac. Like he got, like it was just a simplification of the story, but he didn't get fired on the tarmac. Are we finding out? Will we find out Lake Walton didn't really get left behind? Maybe just stayed behind and then caught.
Maybe he was stuck talking to somebody.
Yeah, right?
You know, having a quick meeting, maybe the Pelicans owner grabbed him aside and said, hey, listen, you know, I don't think this trade will actually ever go through, but I'm ready to get rid of Alvin Gentry if you're willing to come here.
I can see LeBron getting on the bus going, go, but we go, start it up. Get out of here.
Yep.
Like nothing I can do. Because
you know he was mad.
He was really mad.
You heard.
Listen.
You saw his press conference after. I could totally see him getting on that bus. He's like, just leave this place. I want to forget it.
I said it last week, and I'm not going to be a broken record. I'm not going to do every Laker game all the way through. But I said this last week. Every game is now pressure, must-win feel, playoff feel for the Lakers. And he knows it. You now know it. You will not escape it. Watch the way the Lakers are covered from now until the end of the season, or until they're officially eliminated if they don't make it. This is what you're going to get from every game the Lakers play, that intensity of, my God, they lost, and LeBron's mad, and they... Because he knows they don't have a lot of wiggle room here. They can't go on a 5-game losing skid and just make it up on the back end. They're in Sacramento is playing good basketball. I might have to amend my thing I said where Golden State versus LeBron would be a better matchup than Golden State versus Sacramento. I saw some of the Sacramento highlights from their game against Oklahoma City where Buddy Hield, they're good. That's a good basketball team.
Okay, what you just said is just listen to what you said, and that's why you really, you know, people may need to rethink this. I mean, I'm a Laker fan. I would love to see them get in there. But what you said makes all the sense in the world, that, you know, maybe a Warriors versus Kings series would be better than Warriors versus LeBron.
Exactly right. You're right.
That's
exactly
what you're saying.
Exactly.
We're not saying Lakers. We're saying, God, you know, somehow, some way, LeBron's got to get in there. And if they're able to sneak in, it's going to be LeBron versus the Warriors. But if they don't, it's going to be the Kings versus the Warriors. We got a whole team against another team, rather than a player versus a team.
Problem is, it's the Kings aren't sellable to like your average Joe NBA fan in Miami or in the East Coast,
Sacramento,
or maybe Sacramento for that matter. That's a good team. I'm watching the highlights the other night. It was Saturday night's game, and Russell Westbrook had 41 points of the Thunder, but the Kings were good. They beat them. They looked really sharp.
But they're no Nuggets.
But they're no Nuggets. They're no Nuggets. All right, so let's get
the
to the
dumb
ugly.
Of the weekend.
Oh, the dumb. I'm sorry.
The dumb of the weekend. And this has more to do with the university rather than the fraternity that I'm talking about.
Okay.
Because it involves hazing, and fraternities are often, and deservedly so, getting the bad rap for hazing. Correct. I mean, whether it's, you know, there was a story the other day where, you know, fraternity guys were urinating on their pledges, or they make them drink too much and someone either gets really sick or, God forbid, dies. This one, a Wisconsin fraternity has been suspended for hazing. Their crime, making their pledges wear Dora the Explorer backpacks to class.
Okay, this is insane.
Right?
This is insane.
I mean, given all that, you know, fraternities really are notorious for, you know, like the urinating, you know, you can't do that. There's health issues there.
Exactly. Exactly. When you attach a garden hose to a pledge and then attach the other end to a gigantic keg,
right,
that's not a good thing.
But
it's not going to, it's terrible.
Making them wear Dora the Explorer backpacks. Hey, it's harmless fun.
Right.
Yeah, you know what? You're not going to like it as a freshman. You're trying to be cool. And, you know, the co-ed that you're trying to hook up with is probably going to be laughing at you, and you're ruining your chances there. But guess what? What's the alternative there? I think it's fine.
Exactly. It's
like, calm down.
It's what I tell my son all when he was going into ninth grade. I said, you might get picked on, but remember, you know, as you get older, you get to do the same thing.
Exactly.
I'm father of the year. But listen, I remember when I was at Air Force, when I covered Air Force, it was really interesting story that was brewing with the Air Force Academy football team, because when I was covering them, they had a quarterback who was a true freshman, right? He was a quarterback. And there was a story that was he on the football field, he was the boss, right? He was the leader of the team. So he was telling the offensive line what to do. He's telling the wide receivers what to do. But off the field, he was subject to, you know, your normal kind of hazing from the upperclassmen. And those were his football teammates. You know, hey, walk a straight line, carry my book, do whatever they do at the academy, right? For new freshman arrivals. But on the football field, he was the leader. But off the football field, he had to carry books and walk in a straight line and do what they tell him and quote, act that way. It was a weird dual existence for him. And I remember I didn't even give it a second thought that he was getting that kind of treatment as a freshman at the academy. You know, no, again, nothing violent, nothing drinking, nothing. They weren't making him ingest turpentine or something like that. Just, you know, hey, do 50 push-ups for me, whatever they called the freshman back then, you know? Do 50 push-ups or carry these books or whatever. That was the kind of hazing. It never even occurred to me that that was wrong, or I thought that's what you just did.
Yeah, right? Exactly. There's all forms of hazing, and, you know, I mean, this one isn't life-threatening. Sure, it's embarrassing,
exactly.
But, you know, get over it. Oh, and the university suspending an entire fraternity because of this is like, okay, you're overstepping your bounds. It's like you feel like you need to make your mark, or it's to me, it sounds, it feels like a, when you know a referee's name, like Scott Foster, you're not supposed to know supposed a referee's to. Name. You know, and this is one of those situations, university, you're just supposed to make sure that, you know what, these pledges survive their pledgeship.
Are we getting too litigious in our society where these schools are like, these campuses are just afraid there's that one crazy mom that's like, Dora the Explorer caused my son emotional breakdown and he failed
people
physics
were making
and,
fun of him and
$25 million, and you're like, oh god,
it's just somebody who's trying to
deal with Miss James.
You know, you're probably absolutely right. It's probably a parent who, you know, heard her son's grievance, and that's why he was failing that one class. So because he was failing that one class, either A, he should be able to retake the class and not have that negative mark on his record, or refund the tuition for that semester.
My wife and
that's
I were
what they're going after.
My family and I were at a restaurant the other day, and the table next to us had about a 13-year-old son. Literally, I mean, I'm not exaggerating. If he was 14, I'd be right. If he was 12, I'd be shocked. He was around like a teenager. He had his phone in his hand. He had his headphone thing. He was staring at the phone, and his mother ordered the dinner for him.
Did she chop it up as well?
Exactly. I mean, I told my wife, I said, man, I wish I was one of those. I was ready to lose my mind. I was like, you are setting your kid up for failure. Like, literally, he could order his own food. He's like, he would like the. And I was like, oh my God. And that's the same kind of parent that goes, Dora Explorer, you caused him emotional harm and now he can't study and his life is ruined and I want $30 million. Don't order for your kids if they can speak for themselves. Let your kids order at restaurants, even if they're young. Like, listen, trust me, the waiter or waitress, I used to wait tables, the waiter or waitress would be more than happy to listen to your little kid order and get the clarification from you, but teach them how to interact with human society. Don't order for your 13-year-old child at a restaurant. You are part of the problem if you do that. That's my social thing of the day. Yikes. All right, SB Nation Radio. It's SB Nation AM.